Walk through the park on a pretty spring day, and you might notice more moms and dads with salt-and-pepper hair. New reproductive technology gives older wannabe parents many more options to hold back the hands of the biological clock. The average age of first birth for mothers in Western, Northern, and Southern Europe is now 26 to 29 years old. That's up by an average of 3.5 years from the start of the 1970s. And the fastest-growing group of new mothers is aged 40 to 44. Due to immigration, those statistics skew somewhat younger in this country, but the trend here is up, too. Later in the program, Ralph Reed joins us to remember the Reverend Jerry Falwell, who died earlier today. But first, what life is like for older moms and dads. We'll talk about the different social, economic, and emotional pressures and ask how old is too old for parenthood. If you're mid-40s and changing diapers, join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Email talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Our first guest is Lauren Young. She's the personal business editor at Business Week, as well as a contributor to Business Week Working Mother blog. She joins us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you on the program today.
Nice to have you. And you know what? It's working parents. Just I want to be equal opportunity. We do have guys write for the blog, too.
Okay. Well, how old is too old?
The other day, a friend told me that she's pregnant with twins. She's 48. And my jaw dropped to the floor. Not that I think it's too old, Neil. It's just I'm so tired and I'm going to be 40 this year. I can't imagine what it's like to have twins and be 48.
Mm-hmm. How old are your kids?
I have a toddler who's two and a half, and I'm going to be 40. And I had him do the math when I was 37. Mm-hmm. So I always say to people, when I was 24 years old, my first job out of college, graduate school, we'd stay out all night and we'd literally buy a toothbrush downstairs at the drugstore in D.C.
Yeah.
And head into work and have our day in the office. I can't do that anymore. I can't be up all night with a newborn and be productive at my job. So I guess how old is too old for is going to be unique to whoever the person is, but I'm tired.
And I'm sure that a lot of people told you when you were pregnant at age 37, do you know what you're getting yourself in for? And you said, oh, I can handle it.
You know, I actually didn't hear that as much. And I think this is a trend of living in a major metropolitan area. I'm in New York City. And I think you do see older parents in a lot of places. But my friends who have had kids and moved to places that are not big cities in the United States, they do feel like they're in the minority having mm-hmm. kids in their 30s and 40s.
You get some funny looks at preschool meetings.
Yeah, funny looks at preschool meetings when you sign up your kid for classes. You definitely feel like you're in the minority. So I do want to make a point that this is not necessarily a national phenomenon, but, sometimes we focus on it because it's happening a lot in the major metropolitan areas.
Now, there can be some economic advantages to waiting to your 40s.
Oh, absolutely. Your kids are in college or out of college now, Neil?
My kids are out of college.
Okay, well, I'm sure saving for college was a huge expense for you. I'm assuming that it was something that you planned for because you're just that kind of guy. But is a benefit to having, being on a better financial footing when you're older, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to have money already socked away for retirement and being able to put money into things like, college and saving for braces and all those fun things.
That jump up and surprise you. And they both got out in 4 years. Bless them.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you.
No 5-year plan for you.
But you're looking forward to you're better economically off, so you can plan for these things if you're a little bit older.
You can. But, one of the interesting things is there's a group called Motherhood Later that geared themselves to women who have babies in their 30s and 40s. They did a study and they said that the number one thing that people who they surveyed said was that they don't have time for themselves. So when you're older, maybe you become a little more selfish because you're used to being kind of the only game in town, taking care of yourself for so long and not having to worry about other people. And all of a sudden you're being a caregiver to other people. You don't have necessarily that time for yourself for that manicure and pedicure. I know that you're getting one
scheduled after the show. Yes.
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is that you have the benefit of a bit more patience than you might have had as a much younger person.
That is a stereotype, I think. I don't know if I'm more
Oh,
patient.
I
I
was
think I
more
get
patient.
really cranky. Maybe. And you do have a knowledge. There's something different. Maybe the maturity level might be a little bit different because you've dealt with life experiences differently. But, I know a lot of inpatient people who are in their 40s too. So I know people who are kids who are in their 40s, so they're childish.
Yeah. All right, let's get some callers in on this conversation. 800-989-8255. 800-989-TALK. Our guest is Lauren Young, personal business editor at Business Week magazine. And let's go to Kay. Kay's with us from St. Louis. Kay, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm in my mid-50s, and I am still wanting a child.
Have you thought about, that's daunting, isn't it?
Well, we went through two in vitro tries 25 years ago. Subsequently, we've raised five adopted children, some from foreign countries and some special needs children here.
Mm-hmm.
But I find myself, they are none of them like us at all. They're not musical. They're not academic. I find myself wanting a child that's something like us.
Mm-hmm. Lauren Young, Kay, it's certainly up to her, and she's got a point. She's had the experience, and she wants her own child.
And it's possible to do that. There was a woman who was 57 years old who gave birth to twins a couple of years ago in New York City with a donated egg. It's totally scientifically possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I could do it, but who am I to judge that someone else can't? Science is letting us do it. It's just the implication, though, is what happens if you're in your 50s in 20 years from now when that kid does graduate from college, and are they going to be your caregiver? What's their role going to be in the world? And I think sometimes people, it's very hard to see out into the future and think about what the impact is for a child who may not have the support of their parents for much of their life.
Mm-hmm. But, Kay, obviously you've been through it with the adopted kids, and you certainly know what you're getting yourself in for.
Exactly. But in our town, the major medical centers will not let us have a child because we're too old.
Hmm. Well, you know what? I just heard this yesterday from somebody. People are going to Romania, which is where somebody, I believe, in her 60s had a baby from a donated egg. But literally someone just told me yesterday she knows couples that are going to do fertility treatments there because it's also cheaper.
And are people, just a question, Kay, they say you're too old. Are they talking about medical risks or are they talking about, the moral choices that they fear you might not be a good enough parent?
Our major hospital here said that medically they felt it was not a reasonable idea for a woman in her 50s to go through childbirth. And so I said, well, what about a donated egg and even perhaps a surrogate donor?
Hmm.
And they simply basically said that they only have so much time or services, and they have an institutional decision that they will not take couples where the wife is over 50.
Now, I'm not aware of
insurance. They didn't say that about the man, just the wife.
Just the wife, yeah.
Kay, did you happen to talk to your insurance company? I'm just curious if they're also setting limits on whether or not they would cover childbirth at that age.
Our insurance has never covered it before. And my husband's he's an employee of the federal government. So I haven't checked that. I think it's really unlikely.
Hmm. Well, Kay, we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Nancy London was a kind of poster mom for the first batch of older mothers. She became a first-time mother in her 40s and wrote a book about her experiences called Hot Flashes, Warm Bottles, First-Time Mothers Over 40. She was actually a guest on this program 6 years ago to talk about it. She joined us again from her home in Santa Fe in New Mexico. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
It's nice to be back, Neil. Thank you.
And why did you become part of this demographic?
Well, I was what you call a serial miscarrier. I probably would have had a child much younger, but I miscarried five times. And so by the time I carried successfully to term, I was 44 years old.
And I wonder, certainly congratulations for that, but has your mind changed at all since you had your daughter?
Well, here's what I discovered. I discovered that we can go into the experience feeling very young and very fit and move through the end of our 40s and into our early 50s and come to a place where I think what happens is that it's developmentally appropriate for a woman around that time to want more time for herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time to really stop and reflect about where you've been in your life, where you want to go, what's not been accomplished, if you want to continue on the same course, if you want to make changes. It's a dream time, really. And to be chasing a toddler is a very developmentally inappropriate activity at that age, is what I've come to think.
It can also be tiring.
Oh, well, that goes without saying. You know, I've run support groups for older mothers for years, and whenever we do a check-in, we go around the room, and people get to say three things they've experienced during the week, and everybody says tired, tired, and tired.
Mm-hmm.
So the physical fatigue is almost a given, and it's something you really can't even factor in before you experience it. It can be so profound.
Yet, if you had not let's say there'd been another problem and you weren't you might still be desperate to conceive.
Absolutely. You know, and when people say, what's too old, I really don't have a judgment about it because I longed so much for a child of my own and, you know, put my life at risk miscarrying repeatedly. And so I have nothing but a tender heart towards women who really go out of their way to have children later in life.
I
think there are issues that one could certainly be more informed about, like if you're 35 years old, do all 35-year-old women who are postponing motherhood know that fertility is declining?
We're going to discuss some of those issues when we come back. We're talking about the question, is there a too old to have a baby? 800-989-8255 if you'd like to join us. Email us, talk@npr.org. A little later, a 57-year-old father of twin girls will join us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about older parents with young kids. The numbers indicate more women are having children into their 40s and 50s. For men, it can be even later. Anthony Quinn was 81, Tony Randall 78, to name just a couple of high-profile examples. Our guests are Lauren Young, personal business editor at Business Week, and Nancy London, author of the book Hot Flashes, Warm Bottles, First-Time Mothers Over 40. In a few minutes, we'll hear from a 57-year-old father of twin 3-year-old girls. If you're in the mid-40s and changing diapers, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org, and you can check out our blog at npr.org/blog of the nation. And let's get a caller on the line. This is Melva. Melva with us from Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I think people are looking at this from a selfish point of view. Sure, they want children. They want children so bad, but they waited till they were old to do it. My parents had me when they were 42, and I am telling you, it was an awful, awful upbringing.
Why?
Because your parents can't do anything with you. You go to, and, you know, they're tired at the end of working, and they come home, and they don't want to get down on the floor and play with you. They don't want to go outside and play with you. They're tired. And then when you get in grade school, you know, or even high school, your friends are looking at you like, why are your grandparents bringing you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, my dad was bald. My mom had gray hair when I was born already. Truthfully, I was an accident, so they didn't plan on me. But these people that are planning to have children at that age, they're selfish. They're not thinking of what their child's going to live with.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's ask Lauren Young about that. Is there an element of selfishness in this, do you think?
There's a selfishness in having children, period. It was so interesting to hear Kay, the caller before, mm-hmm. talking about wanting to have a child of her own. And I can completely relate to that because it is such an amazing experience to see how you reproduce. No, a baby's not a toy. But I think one of the benefits, you know, it's like there's no perfect thing because I have friends who were accidents too, gifts, I like to call them, rather than accident. And they had great childhoods. They may have been raised by their older brothers and sisters, but or their parents. It depends. But I think childhood is such a unique experience. And
it's unique, but you want to grow up feeling like, you know,
Do you have children
like
now?
My older sister, who's 19 years older than me, and she's like my mother more, you know, almost.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Do you have children now?
I have two boys. I had my tubes tied when I was 30, so I wouldn't make that mistake.
Obviously feel strongly about it. Nancy London, let's bring you back into this. You medically didn't have a choice because of your previous medical problems.
That's true. You know, my daughter noticed that I was older and tireder, somewhere around 8 or 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, they just think their parents are great. And, you know, my whole push is for women to educate themselves. You know, if you can face being mistaken for your kid's grandmother when you take them to preschool for the first time, if you can decide that there are things you can do with your child, like board games and videos and card games and writing and storytelling that will take the place of rollerblading. You can approach it with your head screwed on right. You know what's going to be coming down the road at you, and it's not a surprise. You know, you can trade with younger mothers. You can have kids over for sleepovers. There are ways to compensate as long as you're not trying to pretend you're still 20, you know, and getting out there and, you mm-hmm. know, trying to stay up with the younger mothers. There are ways to make do.
Let's get another caller on. This is Brian. Brian with us from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We have four children. My wife and I are both in the early 40s. We have four children, ages 15, 13, 3 years old, and 7 months old. And yes, we do feel more tired, but we found it's just been a tremendous blessing for our family. We went through three miscarriages in 7 years, and were told we couldn't have any more children when our little girl showed up, the three-year-old, and then we thought we were done, and now we have a seven-month-old son. So definitely we felt more prepared and more energetic when we were looking at our first two children, but it's been nothing but a blessing for our family. My sons absolutely love having the two younger siblings.
Hmm. And obviously with a big age disparity, too, there are economies of scale in parenting. Two is not twice as hard as one, and I guess four are not four times as hard as one.
Actually, everybody said the difference between three children and four wouldn't be that big a deal. We have found it is more. Going from three to four has actually been, it felt exponentially more demanding on our time. And both our third child, our daughter, and our final child, our son, both of them had some health problems when they were first born, which precipitated some time in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we've just found it's harder economically. We've definitely found that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
My wife said the other day, it's interesting, her comment was, I just never could have imagined life before all four of these children. And so, and even my older son has commented, he's never seen a child as happy as our youngest one.
Hmm.
So not that we're the Brady Bunch, but unlike some of the other callers, it has been wonderful for us. And my wife always says, I'm tireder than I've ever been, but I don't know if I've ever been this happy.
Brian, thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's see if we can go to Maureen. Maureen is with us from Middleburg Heights in Ohio.
Hi, Neil. I've been listening, and each time you hear somebody, you think of something else. When you said Romania, send the woman to Romania for fertility treatments, I thought, my God, the irony, Romania is just full of children that have no family, you know,
mm-hmm.
because of Ceausescu. And it seems there's such an element of, not for the gentleman that just spoke, because they're in their 40s. They're not in that transition period, which is really a precipitous decline in energy and desire to do things. It just really wears you down, speaking from experience. But there's a narcissism involved. You know, a woman said she wanted a child who was musical and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
But she was going to be inseminated with an egg and sperm that had nothing to do with them anyway, given the fact that she's probably menopausal. So that child won't be hers genetically in any way. If you want a child, adopt. It's heartbreaking to me to hear this because so many children need, need homes. And here we are wanting our little replication of ourselves that we can nurture along and create a mini-me. I mean, that's cynical, but it just breaks my heart to hear
Maureen, that. Just to interject.
This is Lauren Young. Go ahead.
This is Lauren speaking. It is harder, actually, though, to adopt at a certain age. The cutoff for China, for example, I believe it's each country sets a different age limit for what is acceptable, the top of the range. And they're getting more and more specific about it's getting harder, basically, the older you are, if you're in your 40s, to adopt.
Here's a comment from Candace on our blog. I'm a 35-year-old single woman who would really like to have a family. I know I have a few years, maybe, but I do not support women having children over 45 years old. Sometimes biology takes over and it just happens. That's one thing. But the ones that really try after 45 years old are just selfish, in my opinion. Having a teenager at 60, a college student at retirement age, whose interests come first at that point? I just think it's unfair and selfish option to have a child so late in life. You can't care for that child when they require the most energy and oversight from their parents, the teenage years. And I wonder, Nancy London, as you look ahead to that prospect a little bit.
Well, I think looking ahead is part of the problem. I think our culture doesn't support looking ahead. It's always we can have it all whenever we want it. And the medical profession has come along and supported that myth that there are no consequences to waiting. You can wait until you're 50, you can wait until you're 60. Hell, wait till you're 65, and then we'll fly you to Romania. And I think that's what's graveling. Not that women don't have urges towards motherhood later in life, but that people aren't really thinking about consequences. Our culture isn't geared towards thinking about consequences.
Yeah.
And then you have a gigantic, humongous, overblown, gazillion-dollar infertility industry that supports that state of denial.
Maureen, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
It's not just women who fit into this older demographic, men too. Stephen Tushin is a 57-year-old father of six. His oldest is 30. He joins us today from his home in Illinois, where he is with his two youngest twin 3-year-old girls. And it's nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, nice to be here.
And did you expect to become a dad so late in life?
Oh, yes, it was planned.
And how did it happen?
It happened because I married my second wife. I have three children from my first wife. My second wife had not gone through the joys of pregnancy, and we started over at that point.
And I wonder, from your point of view, are there differences this time around?
It's much, much different. It's on a different level. I've learned from my mistakes. I still make them sometimes, but
sure. We all do.
Much more mature. It's on a totally different level than my first children. My first children are great, and I'm blessed with six beautiful, healthy kids. But this time around, it's much more developmental. It's on a totally different level. It's very difficult to explain. It's a tremendous sacrifice. There's no doubt about it. We were very well aware of what we're getting ourselves into. It's something that we wanted. It's a tremendous sacrifice. And everything that your guests have said is true. We're sleep-deprived. We both work. We do our best. It's hard. We don't have the stamina. We can't debate that. But we give it our best shot. And we have two 3.5-year-old twins that are happy and bouncy and enjoying life, and we give it our best shot.
And you know at this point you'll have teenagers when you're 70 years old.
Right, and my 30-year-old daughter, who's probably trying to get pregnant now, is going to have kids, and I'll have grandchildren playing with my young kids. So,
how do your friends in your age group who don't have little kids relate to you?
It's hard. It's hard. They get turned off by us. There's no doubt about it.
Turned off.
I don't know if it's jealousy, something that they wanted. I don't know, but they get annoyed. They get annoyed with us dragging around children. I mean, we're always with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to get sitters. It's constant children all the time. And wherever we go, we've got somebody with us. And a lot of times people, older folks who've had children or who have not had children yet are not going to have them, they get annoyed. They get annoyed at the mess and the breaking of the candy dishes and all that other stuff.
And the noise,
and they're just not used to it. It's all in the frame of mind.
And I assume you have some friends who are your age who said, look, we've all been through that. What in the world were you thinking?
Yeah, many times. It happens many times. Like, you must be nuts. But to each his own. And we love it. And like I said, it was a tremendous sacrifice. We can't go out by ourselves. We have very little privacy. I mean, sometimes they're up till 10 o'clock at night with us. Or one of them has got a headache and sleeping in the bed with us because they can't sleep or throwing up. It's a total 100% sacrifice. But it's something we wanted to do. My wife wanted it. I had been through it once already, and I had three children. We started over again.
I wondered,
how old is your wife?
Pardon me?
How old is your wife?
My wife is 50.
Wow.
And my question for you, this is Lauren, is what do your other kids think?
Two of the other three older kids are fine with it. They love my children. They play with them. No problem. One of them resents it, that I'm either taking time away from him. He's not married. He's a single guy, but for some reason he's jealous. He's either bitter. He talks to me on the phone, and there's kids screaming in the background. I can't hear you, Dad. I can't hear you. He gets mad at me. He just doesn't have the tolerance. And I've had to deal with that. That's been difficult.
Well, Steve Tushin, we wish you the best of luck. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Steve Tushin, a funeral director in Illinois. He spoke with us from his home where he was watching his twin 3-year-old daughters. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Dan on the line. Dan's with us from Tucson.
Hi there.
Hi.
Well, I just wanted to comment that I think one of the things that's being left out of this conversation is the role of the parents beyond high school and into the college years and even young adult life. That these, if you choose to have children that late in your life, where you're going to be yourself, probably not just less active, but maybe perhaps not available to your children. I think you're kind of abandoning them, and too early. I mean, the job of parenting continues on into early adulthood for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's 75, I'm 45, and he's still a tremendous benefit to me as a person to turn to for help and knowledge.
Yeah, and there are also questions. They are unlikely to have any relations whatsoever with grandparents. And here's a question we got from, and thanks, Dan, very much. Here's an email question we got from Amy in Tulsa, Oklahoma. What about all the grandparents who have raised their grandchildren as well as their own because of varying circumstances? Also, we're living decades longer than we used to. Why not have children decades later? That first point, Lauren Young, there are an awful lot of grandmothers who find themselves raising their daughters' children.
And just even babysitting for them. So we know that, yes, there's a trend that sometimes they're taking the kids into their homes and raising them. But I have a bunch of friends whose mothers are watching their kids for them. So somebody has the energy to do it. But it is, I do hear from grandparents all the time, it's so nice to give them back at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're raising them, it is a different, and it's more of a survival thing at that point. I mean, you're just trying to keep the family intact.
And also, Neil, this is Nancy.
Yes, go ahead.
When I wrote my book, I interviewed just hundreds of women who had kids for the first time over 40, and I often heard a lament that had to do with their parents being too old to have a relationship with their children.
Hmm.
And it was something they hadn't factored in when they postponed motherhood. And so, you know, it's certainly one of the cautions. If you imagine a really cozy relationship between your mom and dad and your kids, you can find yourself at 45 in what's called the sandwich generation, where you're caring for your parents and your kids.
Let's get Brian on the line, one last caller. Brian with us from Eugene, Oregon.
Hi there. I just wanted to comment. My parents were 30 years apart. My mom was 40 and my dad was 70 when I was born. And a lot of callers seem to have mentioned this sort of selfishness or the fact that the parents won't be around, and that's really something to consider. My father became sick with Alzheimer's and was sort of in a peripheral part of my life from the time I was about 9 or 10 until he died when I was 16. And it is certainly something to consider, and also now that I have a child, he's not around, and it's unfortunate he's not there. And so I certainly caution people to consider that. At the same time, I had a fantastic relationship with him while he was around and wouldn't trade that in for the world.
Yeah, so while he was there, and I guess that's a decision, Lauren Young, that a lot of parents are making. No, mortality may catch up with me, and there are challenges on both sides of this, but there's also a question of while you're there, it's great.
Yeah, and that's why ultimately, and it's good that we right now have this personal decision that we can make to do this or not, but ultimately, you know, you live life and hopefully you live it well and it's good and you have fond memories when people aren't around anymore.
Brian, thanks very much.
You bet.
And we'd like to thank our guests, Lauren Young, who you just heard, a personal business editor at Business Week magazine, joined us from our bureau in New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Nancy London, a social worker, author of Hot Flashes, Warm Bottles, First-Time Mothers Over 40, who joined us on the phone from her home in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation after 6 years.
Thank you, Neil. It was nice to be with you.
When we come back, we'll remember the Reverend Jerry Falwell. He founded the Moral Majority and turned the religious right into a political force. He died earlier today. We'll look back on his life and his career and his impact on American politics. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.